can take what is his. He defends his title and goes back to back.
So that was Dan Hicks and Elizabeth Beisel on NBC calling the last 100 meters of the 1500-meter freestyle final, which was won in some style, I have to say. And I have with me David Reeder of Swimming World magazine, a happy American who got to see Bobby Fink win America's first individual men's gold medal of the meet in the last race that he could possibly do it. So a good day for America, David.
It was definitely an up and down meet for the U.S. men, but seeing that performance by Fink, I don't want to say we were surprised by that, but it was, he took it out and held on. So what you got to do sometimes.
Yeah, he certainly did. I won't lie to you, David. I had this lined up before the race, and I was really hoping to get on an American so I could kind of gloat a little bit, to be honest with you, because, Daniel Whiffen already had one gold medal. Unfortunately, yep. In Ireland, we kind of hung the second one around his neck a little bit. So, like with Daniel, his immediate post-race interview with my colleague Paul O'Flynn, he was stinging a little bit. But when he did a second interview with the medal hung around his neck, he was pretty satisfied. And I think that's how the whole nation feels. At first, we're like, oh, we wanted another gold. But, it's not too long ago when Ireland hadn't won a medal in swimming for 26 years. It was last week we hadn't won a medal. So, two bronze and a gold is pretty good from this meet. But kind of the stakes are a little bit higher for America, I think. And, with a home games coming up in 4 years and a pretty indifferent performance from your men's team, not the women, obviously. And the mixed relays, of course, delivered as well. But for the men, there was pressure on Bobby Fink here, really, wasn't there?
There absolutely was. I mean, it was a very weird meet for the U.S. men. A lot of people who you expected to be in medal contention, not even making finals. And here's something really crazy that I figured out today. Before tonight, when Bobby won his gold medal, and everyone pretty much knew he was going to win a medal, and the men's relay, which lost for the first time ever at an Olympics, but they still got silver. Before that, the American men hadn't won a medal since Tuesday. It's Sunday. They went 4 days of Olympic swimming without winning a medal. And the only time they were really close in that span was when Carson Foster swam the 200 IM and got fourth. Honestly, it was probably their only really good final swim in that span. It was unexpected for sure. I think we knew this team didn't have certainly the depth and the coverage of all the different events like the women did, but we were expecting something to happen, something to go better. And I think the American perspective is a little spoiled. The Michael Phelpses, Ryan Lochtes, Caleb Dressels, they've been dominant at the Olympics for the past 20 years. And now the closest thing the Americans have to that is Bobby Fink, who, even in not winning the 800, still delivered a very good performance. And he's the only person you can say that had two great finals performances from the U.S. men here.
Yeah. Did anybody expect this? Because, that record has been standing for 12 years. Sun Yang said it, obviously, in London in 2012. Bobby swam 14:44 in the heats / semifinals. Mm-hmm. And I guess driven on by probably Daniel Whiffen's confidence and how he spoke after the semifinal, talk about how he wanted to set the world record, and the form he's shown at the meet probably made Bobby think he can probably do it. So his tactics were laid out from beforehand. He said, I have to go off like the clappers here or I'm not going to stay away from this Irish kid.
Well, so Bobby talked after the 800 about how that was his big thing, was killed in the last 50, right? Just like he did in Tokyo 3 years ago when he made up huge gaps. Well, everyone else figured out what he was trying to do, including Dan Whiffen, and Dan responded, as you saw in the 800. I think in this one, Bobby felt he might have a little bit more endurance that third 500. So he figured he would be able to maybe outlast him and have an advantage. And that's pretty much what happened. He was able to set that pace and not let up.
Yeah, and it was tremendous pace, because obviously when we watched on TV, you've got the yellow world record line kind of, and it was at his, it was just beyond his reach. Yeah, it was just
he actually could see. There's a big video board behind me.
Yeah,
and Bobby could actually, I think when he was breathing to this side, he could actually see that he was in line with the world record. and he knew
Really?
that it would be tough that last 50, but that's, I think that had a lot to do with him keeping that pace in his head, even as he had a pretty good lead.
Yeah, and how, what did he afterwards? How was his kind of reaction to breaking a world record? Was it a, yeah, that's what I was trying to do, or was it like, I just wanted to win the race? I had no idea I was going to do that.
Yeah. To be honest, I actually didn't get a chance to speak with Bobby tonight because there were still races going on, but
Yeah.
he climbed out of the pool and he looked pretty pumped in a way that is not necessarily what we've come to expect from him. Sometimes at these domestic level meets, he's pretty low-key even feel about it. He shared a nice moment with Anthony Nesty too, his coach at the University of Florida. That clearly meant a good bit to them, and he came real close last year. He and Ahmed Hafnaoui from Tunisia were both within a half second at the World Championships. Bobby lost that race by 0.05 of a second. I think there was definitely some thought that he and maybe Dan could be right up there tonight. Obviously that wasn't Dan's best time, but he's had a phenomenal Olympics, and I don't think, certainly not seen the last of him. And I think Bobby knows that too.
Yeah, that I suppose here, you know, we're navel gazers, we're, you know, like everybody else, we do kind of want to know what other people think of our world beater. And I suppose the last time Ireland had an Olympian who took more than one medal in an Olympics in the pool, the Americans didn't think very much of her, and they were right, it proved in the end. Not saying that that's the conversation with Daniel Liffen, but
no, not at all.
what is the American thinking about Daniel Liffen?
Oh, a lot of respect for what he's done. No question. Like I'm trying to remember. I definitely picked him to get gold or silver in the 800. I had a feeling that was going to be really good, and then he would be on the podium here. A lot of respect for his ascendance in the distance world over the past couple of years, and not a very clear knowledge that's not going anywhere.
Yeah, definitely. And then overall for the Americans, as you've already discussed, for the men, it was an odd one. Yeah, probably the best swimming coach in America training everybody but Americans because of the rules that you kind of have around, you know, so Bob Bowman can train Leon
some
Marchand.
Americans.
And then looking ahead to LA, but I suppose on the plus side, you did win more medals than Australia, which, as we all know, in that rivalry, that matters.
It does. I hope that the fact that they won more gold medals does not change the fact that 8 gold medals is the fewest won by an American team in swimming since 1988. This is also their first time not getting to 30 medals. They finished with 28. First time not getting to 30 medals since 2004. It's clearly was not, they did not reach the bar that they had traditionally set for themselves. A lot of medal contenders who we expected to be right there after Olympic trials were out of it. A lot of them didn't make the final. Lot more misses of finals and semifinals than has been the norm for United States swimmers over the past few Olympics. So we'll see. Hopefully, from an American perspective, there are some questions asked. We spoke with the U.S. coaching staff at the end of the meet tonight, the head coaches, Todd DeSorbo and Anthony Nesty. They did not offer up a lot of specifics, so we're going to have to follow up on that and see what transpires. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe the rest of the world is catching up on America and Australia and China, and maybe it's just going to be a more equal footing in the future, perhaps.
This was the men's meet. This was the meet of Europe. A lot of, I mean, obviously there was Marchand, Martin Nagy won a gold medal. Let's see, who else from Europe? Milak won a gold medal. There were a lot of very, very impressive European swimmers here. David Popovich from Hungary. It's definitely, it wasn't unexpected, but it was certainly impressive.
Yeah. Well, David, thank you very much for joining us from La Défense Arena, which you are now departing and heading for home. I'd say you'll miss it. It's been quite the atmosphere in there over the last week.
It has. I mean, when Léon Marchand has been up, it's something. The French have done a really wonderful job supporting their athletes. We've been to a handful of other venues this week, and we've seen it every time. We were at fencing, and the stands were shaking, and it's been pretty special.
That's brilliant. Well, thank you very much, David. And next, we're just going to hear from Daniel Liffen and his reaction to receiving that second medal, the bronze medal for the 1500 meters freestyle.
We're going to Paris now because we have a double Olympic medalist on the line. Daniel Liffen is in our studio. Daniel, how are you? Congratulations on your bronze medal.
Oh, yeah, thank you very much. It's great. Obviously, my neck's a bit heavy right now, having two gold medals on me, but, yeah, class.
Well, you kind of blinged it up there. Come here, I know it's become an RTE tradition. Did you get a bit of pizza there tonight?
Not yet, but I have been told it's on the way.
OK, very good. What, any particular flavour you ordered, or are you just going to wing it?
I've just gone with margarita, a bit plain, to be honest. That's just me.
Play it safe. Daniel, listen, congratulations. Your initial interview when you came out of the pool, you kind of sounded a little disappointed. That had changed after you received that medal.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think the way I wanted the race to go didn't go my way, obviously, but it took me a while to take everything in. Obviously, I mean, I don't know if you can see, but I've got a gold and a bronze on me. So, I mean, I've won an event at Olympic Games, and no male swimmer's ever done that before. And I think I'm one of the only people for an Irish Olympic standard to win two medals at the Games. And, you know, coming to this, I came with high expectations. I said that I wanted a gold medal. I got that, and then I backed it up again with a bronze in the pool. So, I mean, I can't ask for anything more.
Yeah, you're the only male to do that, and it is some achievement. What can you talk me through, bring me through the race? It's such a long race. It's such a physically and mentally demanding distance. What are your memories of it?
Yeah, the way it probably looked is probably how it felt for me, to be honest. I went out and it was hard. I didn't really get into the race at the start, which was probably my problem. And then I kind of like just try to bring the field back, try to wear it down. I was splitting really fast in the middle, but I just didn't have it today. And then at the end, I was trying to survive and trying to fight off the people trying to chase me back. But yeah, we came away with a bronze medal. A big shout out to Bobby Fink and Greg. You know, they're great competitors, and that world record to go down makes it so much better.
Yeah, and like Fink led, it's some achievement for him, Daniel, for him to lead right from the start and be there all the way through for that 14 minutes or so.
Yeah, massive achievement. And, you know, it's always great racing these guys. And I'm happy I've come out on top at least once with them. So it's good. I'm happy to say that. But that 1500, the grueling event. And, we're happy with the bronze medal. Can't ask for more than to be on the podium for Ireland again.
Yeah, for sure. Listen, you've made everybody here really, really proud. By the way, are you going to do the outdoor 10K?
That's still the plan. Okay. It's on Friday, so we got quite a lot of downtime until that. And, I'm sure it's going to be good. I watched a bit of the triathlon, and they seem to not be moving on the back current, but, you know, we're probably a bit better swimmers than the triathlon, so I'm sure it's going to be a great race. But maybe I thought an hour 45 would be, but I'm being told it could be 2 hours 10 to finish the race, so... Yeah, it might be a long race, but I'm sure I'll handle it fine.
It's just a staggering ability that you have. That those times are just incredible. I know your family were there with you in the pool. What sort of a reaction did you get from them immediately afterwards? What sort of reaction have you had from home as well, from your friends and relatives back here?
Yeah, I mean, it's been amazing. My family obviously are always going to support me, and I think they're happy to see me on the podium twice because I've been on the opposite end where I've been off the podium twice in fourth place at a world championships. But to come away with a gold and the bronze, they're over the moon. I think my twin Nathan was maybe a tad disappointed with the bronze medal because, you know, we want to be on top all the time. But, you know, today wasn't my day. But and then the support alone is great. I've actually had a lot of like famous people in my DMs saying how well I've done, like Niall Horan from One Direction, which is pretty cool. And it's been a great week for me. And yeah, to finish it off, the Olympic Games in the Seine, what a better way, and with this view in the background as well, pretty cool.
Yeah, listen, I think when you're an Olympic champion, you can name drop galore there, so work away. Niall Horan is pretty impressive, I have to say. Look, you know, it'll be great when you get home. I'm thinking of you know, how life is going to change for you now. 4 years' time, of course, LA, I think you'll be 27 years young. I know you're a big movies fan, Hollywood, all that stuff. It's just made for you in LA.
Yeah, I guess it is. I mean, big Game of Thrones star. Well, not really big. I was in the corner of the scene. And then, going to LA, the home of Hollywood. So, can't wait. But that's a long time away. It's 4 years. So we've got plenty of time to think about that one.
Daniel, listen, you're great. We have had such fun watching you. And very, very, everybody's so proud of what you achieved with your gold medal, your bronze medal. You've given us so much entertainment and joy. So thanks so much, Daniel.
No, thank you very much, and thank you to everybody at home.
And enjoy the pizza when it eventually arrives, okay?
Yeah, I will. Yeah, I can't wait. I'm looking forward to eating.
I know. Yeah, Sonia O'Sullivan's beside me. She's looking for some pizza, but it might be a bit cold by the time it gets here from Paris. Daniel, listen, enjoy your evening, and thanks very much for taking the time out to chat to us.
Well, thank you very much.
So that was Daniel Whiffen speaking to Darren Maloney on RTE2 a little bit earlier this evening. Obviously, getting happier and happier as he gets further from the 1500 meter final, and very satisfied with his bronze medal, as he absolutely should be. Elsewhere today, Rory McIlroy finished in a tie for fifth in the golf. A double bogey kind of put paid to his advances, and it was looking very promising for a while, but ball going in the water. There's a lot of water at Le Golf National. McIlroy found some of it, and that put the end to his hopes, unfortunately. Scotty Scheffler, world number one, won gold. No shock there. In athletics, Nicola Tuttle, on her Olympics debut, only 20 years of age, 16th in the hammer qualifiers, but did herself proud. And Cathal Doyle was 10th in a PB of 3 minutes, 33.15 seconds in his 1500 meter semi-final. Serious pace there. And, that's again something to be proud of. The level that we're talking about here in the athletics is off the charts. So that was, I think Cathal Doyle will say, that was a good meet. He came through the repechage. No one that came through the repechage really got near the top six. So that is food for thought on this new development in athletics. Sailing continues with Finn Lynch and Eve McMahon, both really not out of contention by any means in their dinghy races. Dinghy competitions with two races left. Finn Lynch is actually currently in 10th spot, which would be good enough for a medal to get into the medal race. Eve McMahon is 14th. Megan Armitage was 35th in the women's road race in cycling. And unfortunately, none of Noel Hendrick, Liam Jagu, or Madison Corcoran advanced from their kayak cross heats, which was very entertaining. Even if there's no Irish involvement, I would recommend taking a look at that over the next day or two. It's good fun. So that's it for today's podcast. Dennis Fenton stands alone still as the only Irish man to win multiple gold medals in one Olympic Games. You haven't heard of Dennis Fenton, probably because Dennis Fenton was competing for the United States in Antwerp in 1920 when he won three gold medals and a bronze in shooting competitions. He was a Kerry man, and he emigrated to the United States and joined the army, and yes, went on to represent the United States at the Olympics, not once but twice, 1920 in Antwerp, and he went again in 1924 to Paris, the centenary, the games of which we are celebrating the centenary, where he won a bronze in the interestingly named team running deer discipline, which sounds a bit like the biathlon in the Winter Olympics. It involves running and shooting, in this instance, a deer-shaped target. So there you go. Every day is a school day. Thank you very much for listening, and I will be back again tomorrow with another RTE Olympics podcast. Until then, good luck and goodbye. Thank you.